Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
It's 10 o'clock on, doesn't matter what day it is. We do it every day of the week, but it's on a Tuesday. On a Tuesday, on the Eric Ainge Show, sportsradio, WNML.com. That's the website if you missed the first hour and you want to check out all the great stuff we have covering our Tennessee Volunteers there. Vince Ferrar does a good job of kind of keeping everything organized on there, but it's all there on the website.
It's now time to play college football trivia. It's brought to you by Russell Wells, Kia of Knoxville, home of the 200,000-mile warranty. You're playing today for free games at Breakout Knoxville.
Breakout!
You're getting a gift card for one free game for you and your friends at Breakout Knoxville. We have Jesse and Mike on the line. Jesse, you are caller number one, so you get to choose. Would you like to play or pass? Today, we are in the Pac-12. The Pac-12, you want to play or pass?
Play.
He's going to play. Jesse's going to play. Mike, hang on. If Jesse misses one of these, or he's if Jesse scared. Misses this, then you will have the chance to steal.
He ain't scared.
All right, Jesse. This team's starting quarterback, an NFL prospect, was 18 of 32 for 261 yards and two touchdowns. This team scored 24 first half points. And this team defeated a conference opponent 45-3. Quarterback was 18 of 32 for 261 and two TDs. 24-3 lead at halftime against a conference opponent and won the game 45-3. Who is today's team?
In five.
Four. That's a tough one.
Three. Two.
Let's go.
One.
Pac-12.
Gotta go quick. And
dude, I don't know.
All right, Jesse. Mike. Hang on. If Mike doesn't steal, you'll still get the gift card.
Go quick.
Mike. Quarterback threw for 261 yards and two touchdowns. 24-3 halftime lead. 45-3 victory over a conference opponent. Who is this team from the Pac-12?
One.
Is it Oregon?
It is Oregon. Oregon defeated Colorado 45-3. Justin Herbert was 18 of 32 for 261 yards and two scores. And they defeated Colorado, who fell to 3-3.
John Hancock.
On the year.
It's Herbie Hancock.
Mike, hang on. Joel, we'll get your information. We'll get that gift card to Breakout Knoxville to you. And that's how you play college football trivia. Breakout Knoxville supplying our prizes this week. Not your average outing, not your everyday experience. It's for those who'd rather solve the mysteries than watch someone else have all the fun. Different rooms with unique storylines. You and your friends will have 60 minutes to escape your adventure of choice by cracking codes, solving puzzles, and following clues. Breakout Knoxville, 2011 Center Park Drive, breakoutgames.com/Knoxville.
And we'll be at Rusty Wallace Key on Friday. Will
absolutely
we not? Yeah.
Home with the 200,000-mile warranty. We appreciate them making trivia possible.
Dude, I'm a fan of the unplug. So when we do stuff with like the Smoky Mountain Axe House,
yeah.
Breakout Knoxville is a great example of that. You get it's an hour
that your phone's in your pocket
that you can't have it. Yeah. Or gone. You know, you guys go do trivia.
Yeah.
A few hours and you're unplugged. I mean, you're unplugged. You can't have it. I'm a fan of forced can't have the device on you time. I'm a fan of that. Breakout Knoxville is a good example.
Did Tennessee celebrate too much against Mississippi State? Your just initial thought to that?
No.
I tend to say no as well. I do think
I'm curious what other people besides me and you think about this. So if anyone wants to call,
yeah, 656-9900. I saw some reaction on Twitter Saturday. Everybody was happy that Tennessee won.
Of course.
But they did celebrate in a similar manner to the way they celebrated wins over Georgia in 2015 in comeback fashion, Florida in 2016. The jumping up in the stands with the students, swinging helmets, all of that. I can certainly understand people saying that, but I can also understand these guys desperately needed an SEC win.
Well, and I saw veterans and upperclassmen doing it too. I most of the pictures that I saw are the little quick videos. A lot of the guys that were in the stands and were freshmen and sophomores that I saw. A lot, not exclusively. I get that, but like Brian Maurer and Eric Gray getting up in the stands after beating Mississippi State when they hadn't done anything like that. I mean, think of this is by far, and really the only time that if you're a freshman, you've won a game that matters at all.
Yeah. So it's only their second win ever.
Yeah. And UTC, you're not jumping in the stands.
No.
So these guys beat Mississippi State. They were a touchdown underdog. They've never done it before. I don't blame any freshman that went full ham afterwards. I'm granting a for sure pass to.
What about the sophomores that beat two top 25 teams last year?
That one, I'm granting them I'm being more lenient with them because they were on a 1-4 football team. And this was a must-win football game, and they obviously invested everything they had into this the week preparation, because there's no way you can tell me that this is by far, that was not the most prepared, both sides, all three phases, no one was confused, starting quarterback goes down, veteran comes in and plays better. The run game doesn't matter who the quarterback would have been. Why? Because the O-line was so dialed in that we were running the football. Defense is creating turnovers. No, but really not that I saw anyway. There weren't just like busts left and right. We might've had a couple mental errors and that's it. I'm all right with them getting super excited after that game because they put everything they had into it. And they won 20-10 in what was more of a, wouldn't you say Tennessee outplayed Mississippi State more than the 20-10 score showed?
Oh, absolutely. They looked like
watching that game who the better team was.
You
on
left
Saturday.
Minimum 6 points on the field and
minimum
probably 14.
Yeah,
with the two interceptions.
So I think that it was worthy of them getting really, really, really excited. That's okay with me.
What do you think? 656-9900. We'll take your phone calls next on the Eric Kane Show, FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
You're dialed in here to the EA Show on the Animal. That's FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
By the way, you can come see me from 1 until 2 this afternoon at the Pilot in Rocky Hill, North Shore. It's Pilot Celebrity Pumpers this week, benefiting United Way. So come by, and if you see me come up to you to say hi, I will be, I think they give us drink coupons. Last year they gave
from
us drink
one
coupons
to, two?
To give out. 1 to 2 today.
Yeah, I'm tomorrow from 1 to 2 at 8541 Middlebrook Pike.
That'll be
the
fun.
The one on Middlebrook. I'm trying to think of what else is right there. The one on Middlebrook.
You'll have a quick trip because we're at Gray Hodges in Maryville tomorrow. So you're going to have a
zip. That's what I do.
Zip on over. 656.
Get out of the way. Eric Ainge has some Pilot Pumpers to do.
That's right. 656-9900. Let's talk to Scott. Scott, welcome into the EA Show.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I'm calling from Music City here. Just wanted to put in a comment. I was at the game, as I am most games, and have been for decades. If those kids wanted to run buck naked up and down the field after that victory, it would have suited me just fine.
You were proud of them, weren't you? Weren't you, Scott?
I was so excited. Frankly, the BYU game felt like a championship game. The fans were so excited about that game. The outcome was awful, of course, but I was really excited, not for me. Well, I was excited myself, but I was excited. When I go to the games, I cheer for the kids to do the best they can. I hope they win. I don't play. I just like watching them win. I like watching them have fun. So,
right.
Somebody's done too much thinking if they're concerned about the kids celebrating too much after an SEC victory. And how many SEC victories have you had in the last whatever game? So I'll register my thoughts on that.
That's what I wanted to hear, Scott. I wanted to hear from people that have been going. How long have you been going to games, Scott?
Oh, God. Thanks for asking. But since I graduated 74 from law school, I've had season tickets since 75. So, quite a while.
All right, Scott. We appreciate it.
Going on 45 years, man.
Yeah, that's great.
Thanks for calling, man. I think it's really cool, and it's one of my favorite things that I get to do in this job. So you grew up here, man. You grew up around us. Yeah. But I didn't. I was indoctrinated at 17 and a half, really 18 when I got here, and so I'm going on, what is that, 15 years of Tennessee football. Compared to Scott's 45 that he's had season tickets. I just think it's cool. As much as I know about the game and I know people want, you know, and I'm as involved as I am, I understand why people want to know my opinion on football and on our sports programs. But on the flip side, I think it's just as cool to get people's opinions, like often yourself, and to get guys like Scott. Scott didn't play, man, but he graduated from law school in 75, and he's had season tickets for 45 years. He's literally forgotten more Tennessee lore than I'll know. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
When we say we want your opinion when we ask for calls, we really mean that.
Right.
Like, that's really a real thing.
Your opinion can differ from ours. That's fine. I just I always want to make sure that people's opinions are rooted in facts, not something they heard was wrong. But I'm fine with people having different opinions. There are a lot of people that have a different opinion than I do on Jeremy Pruitt and how he handled the concussion talk yesterday. Not, I won't say we argued about it on Twitter last night, but people were...
What was the conversation?
People don't think that he took it seriously enough. And I heard that was not one person. There were several people that said they thought he was a little too flippant when talking about it in the press conference yesterday. And I see where they are coming from, and mad that Brian Maurer didn't come out after hitting his head. And to be honest, if I was the athletic trainer on the sideline, I would have said, we need to look at anybody who came down that way, even if they sprung right back up. Because it turned out that he did have a concussion. But you know what? It's up to the medical observer up in the booth to blow it and say, you got to take him out.
There wasn't a stoppage of play, though.
It doesn't matter. See, if a guy has...
Dude, I agree with Pruitt on that. I mean, you're going to stop... Guys hit their heads on every single play. You can't stop and examine them after every single play. When they come to the sideline,
but again,
he never came back in.
The injury, if the observer in the booth should have blown dead the next play to pull him out, because he took that flip over hit to the head. But they didn't. So it's not on the coaching staff. I'm not blaming. And that's what.
But he got up and he held his neck and he didn't stumble or anything.
But then he fell down on the next play. And that's when the observer from up top should have said he needs to be evaluated.
Wasn't the next play the pick?
No, there was a handoff and then there was a pick.
So he fell down handing the ball off?
Yeah.
Did he trip? I mean, did he try? I'd have to go back and look at it.
Regardless, it's not the coaching staff's fault, and that's what I was. That was the point I was making. It's not on the coaching staff to make those calls. The SEC has rules about it.
And in everyone's defense, it was only two plays afterwards.
You're 40 yards away from
the
kid.
When he came off, he never came back in.
Right. When he came off, they did evaluate. They look and you're going to the tent.
Yeah. And that's to me is what's important. You watch guys all the time that play and they finish the drive or whatever, and then when they come off on the field, then they never go back in. That to me is the deemed, like, is the cutoff point. It's once you have, like, if there'd have been a stoppage of play, if they would have had to, like, let's say he doesn't pop right back up. Let's say, you know, if they had to walk out there.
No, if they have to walk out there, then there'd be no excuse.
Right. There'd be no excuse. But the fact that no one laid eyes on him for two plays, and then once they did, they never let him back in, that's important. I think one of the things that Pruitt should, that if we're being critical over all that, because I think it was handled fine personally, but don't use the term bell rung anymore.
Yeah,
that's a thing that, like, I say that, he says that, people that, I get it, but in the world we live in now, you no one gets their bell rung. You're either in concussion protocol or you're not.
Right.
That's a black or white thing. There's different levels, but I you know, he's almost like dismissing the severity of the concussion by calling it bell rung. That's not his, that's just old school football coach. You know, I don't think he's actually dismissing the severity of it. I just think that when he says that, it sure sounds like he does.
And to be clear, there were three plays afterward. There was a Tim Jordan rush for no gain. That's the one that he fell down on. Ty Chandler rush for 1 yard, and then the interception in the end zone.
But either
so
way,
he ran three. But yes,
yeah. So you're clear. Yeah,
I'm not blaming the coaching staff, as some were, because that's not what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to put. So I agree with what Jeremy Pruitt said. We can't stop after every play. I do think it was an extraordinary blow that he took to the neck slash head.
I don't think it was an extraordinary blow to the head. His head didn't even hit the ground very hard. He just rolled super awkward on his neck. Like, concussion was never on my radar watching the play. It was, did the kid break his neck? Or... Yeah. What severity of neck injury does he have?
And he sprung back up, so you tend to not send the trainer out there. It's not up to the coaching staff to do that. It's up to the trainers on the sideline and the observer up above that's supposed to be looking at players and saying, "Hey, we need to blow the whistle for a second,
maybe make sure that kid's okay." I get maybe.
And that's what they're supposed to do. And it's just like when Brett Kendrick was hurt at Kentucky and everybody wanted to blame Butch Jones for it. No observer and no trainer pointed out that he was wobbly until much later when he was wobbly. Well, it doesn't make it right, but everybody handled it the way they were supposed to.
And in defense of our training staff and anyone that works over at UT, if you walked over after that neck hit, after the play, the Brian Maurer play, and said to the coach, we need to look at him while he was popped up and calling plays and handing the ball off.
Yeah, that's not...
The coach should look and should fire you on the spot. You are not supposed to interrupt that kind of stuff based on what he did and how he showed and the kind of hit it was. It would be completely out of bounds for them to have, for what do you then at that point you pull him out of the game, you call a timeout. Like, that's just not how that works.
Well, and it is if the observer upstairs that says,
yes, that'd be different, but even he didn't say that because the neck, it wasn't like one of those hits where you look at it and you go, his head is gonna be, I watched it just like everybody else, and concussion was never on my radar.
I disagree, but I don't think the coaching staff mishandled it. That was my point.
And I'm saying I don't think our trainers did either, because that's not their job.
It is their job. It's literally under SEC policy their job to do that. Yes.
When he comes to the sideline.
No. No. It is in the protocol that if you feel like a player may have suffered a head injury, like they fell and hit their head, then you can signal in and...
There's a difference between a head and a neck.
I'm telling you what the policy says.
And I'm telling you,
he hit his head. I mean, I'll pull up the video. He did.
Okay.
All right, we'll come back. Talk to Brian Callen of GoVols 24/7 next on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Ryan Callahan of GoVols247.com is our recruiting expert, which is a better way of saying he knows his stuff when it comes to high school kids. Wait, we're going to quit while we're ahead and talk to Ryan.
Hindley Roofing each week brings you Ryan Callahan from GoVols247. Ryan, how are you this morning?
Hey, guys. Doing well. How are you?
Hey, we're great. It's always easier after a win, and I'm sure Tennessee's coaches felt the same way with guys on campus and guys that they made phone calls to right after that game as well.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right about that. They've been kind of waiting for something positive to point to other than a win over Chattanooga. And, you know, they had some progress to point to, obviously, after the Georgia game. I think a lot of recruits who were at that game or watching it certainly came away from that one feeling a little bit better about Tennessee's performance in that game. But nothing sells progress quite like a win, and especially against an SEC team. So for the guys who were at that game, for the guys who were watching at home, and even for guys who didn't see it, yeah, that's certainly something Tennessee has been happy to sell over the past few days, and I think it'll at least help kind of show them that things are maybe on a better trajectory than they looked like a few weeks ago.
Talking with Ryan Callahan, GoVols 24/7 each week, his appearance made possible by Hindley Roofing Company. When you look, Ryan, at the home games, the games where there's potential for us to bring guys to, you know, of your first three, I don't know, you was yes or no, Georgia State a big recruiting weekend for?
No, didn't turn out to be a huge weekend, no.
What about BYU?
That one was more so because it was a night game and a decent non-conference game. So, yeah, that turned out to be a pretty good one.
UTC, no. And then Georgia, yes.
Yep.
And do you think South Carolina will be?
I think it will be. You know, they might have benefited more if that had been a night kickoff, but a 4 o'clock start isn't bad. That gives guys more time to get in. So, yeah, I think with that being a pretty decent SEC matchup there, obviously, I think that'll be a decent turnout at least.
So your three games then at that point, BYU, Georgia, and South Carolina, the team played good against BYU. The fans were phenomenal. It was an awesome environment. Georgia, mm-hmm. You just mentioned and talked about progress. Again, same thing, though. It was a really good vibe, good feel in there. And then that South Carolina opportunity could be really, really big, too. I think how you play in the games where the guys come is important.
It can be. You know, I always say that no player that I've ever encountered has made a decision based on a single game. You know, I don't think that usually ends up being the deciding factor for players. But I mean, when you go to a game, if you were at, you know, the Georgia State game, for instance, yeah, I mean, that's something you're going to come away concerned about or more concerned about because you saw that happen, and it's going to maybe naturally lead to more questions about the big picture. But I think in the end, the big picture speaks more, especially when you're looking at a rebuilding effort like Tennessee's. And if you're trying to sell, you know, six wins this year compared to three or four, that's a big difference.
So, well, and I don't even think it's as much about like, did you win or did you lose, but just the vibe, yeah, of the campus, the Vol walk, the stadium. Like, I'll never forget that I was at the 2003 Vandy game, and I couldn't tell you what the score was. It was a lot to a little, but it's all the little things like that I'm mentioning that happen, mm-hmm, on an important home game where the vibe, the feel, when you walk out of the stadium, you go, could I see myself running through that tee and playing with these guys or not? I think those three games, when you mentioned BYU, Georgia, South Carolina, could end up being definitely good vibe games for the recruits.
No, and that's a great point. I think your experience is like most prospects I've encountered. They remember the experience more so than any particular thing that happened during the game. And that's, you know, did they have fun there? Was the environment memorable in any way? I've talked to plenty of visitors who've gone to, you know, games Tennessee lost by more than 30 to Alabama, lost in lopsided fashion to Georgia or Florida. And they've come away saying, that's a great place to see a game. It's such a fun atmosphere. And yeah, it just depends on how the game goes and what the overall vibe of the program is. So, yeah, it's more about that kind of stuff. And you're right. I think having some good vibes at that game Saturday. So, you know, most kids aren't going to worry about the fact that the stadium wasn't packed, that there was a good feeling around that game because Tennessee got a win and the fans were excited and people saw some positivity. So all those things can help you, and definitely getting a win. It's hard to overstate the impact of that when Tennessee had been needing one pretty badly.
Ryan Callahan of GoVols 24/7, our guest, as he is each week here on the Eric Haines Show. You heard a lot of guys that did talk after this weekend talk about that progress. And I know that doesn't necessarily undo things from Georgia State and BYU, but the fact that they are getting better and the freshmen and sophomores are emerging as the stars really has to help solidify the recruiting pitch that these guys are receiving from Tennessee staff.
Yeah, and that goes right in line with what Tennessee's been selling for months, which is that this is, you know, still a rebuilding job. It's not, you know, it's not going to be a situation where you walk in and you're playing for championships from day one. Probably it's still going to take a little bit more time, and they're playing young guys. Everyone wants early playing time, or most players do. And Tennessee certainly is showing this year that it's willing to play guys early. So a lot of those things that are happening are playing well for Tennessee. And if they can continue this, if they can build on this and win more games down the stretch, I think they're going to be able to sell this. I know a few weeks ago people were concerned about, you know, what you can sell with Tennessee struggling like that. Well, the flip side is now you might be able to sell that Tennessee played a lot better the second half of the season and got better as the season went on. And that's something you can really pitch to recruits and say, hey, we're working in the right direction because we played a lot of young guys and we took some lumps early in the season, but we're on the right track now. And I think that's, if they can get to five, especially six wins, and get to a bowl game, which now is on the table again after beating Mississippi State, I think that's something that really will play well. So you're right, the early playing time and all that, I think it's something Tennessee will be able to use pretty effectively.
Harrison Bailey had a big night on Friday night and then came up here to take in the Mississippi State game. I know there's been a lot of conversation back and forth with him over the last few weeks. Big performance, then checked out the Vols. Has he said anything since his visit to Tennessee?
He hasn't, and I don't think you'll hear a lot from him. You know, we spoke with him less than 2 weeks ago before the Georgia game, and he made it known then that he was going to be at the Mississippi State game, and he might even be back for the South Carolina game in a couple of weeks. But he's a pretty quiet guy. You probably won't hear too many interviews from him in the coming weeks. But I do think he felt good about the win for Tennessee, and I think they helped themselves there because he made it clear when we spoke with him recently that everything I asked him about sort of the big picture in his recruitment, it was sort of, we need to win some games is kind of how he looked at it. And I don't think he was saying that in the sense that, you know, if Tennessee doesn't win some games, I'm gone. But I think he clearly wanted to see some progress. So that was a good sign for Tennessee and his recruitment. And as long as they, you know, show some progress the rest of the year, I don't think they're going to be in any serious danger of losing him. I think he sees a good opportunity for himself, and he's not going to be scared off by, you know, Tennessee not winning quite as many games as it should have. I think he's going to feel pretty good about things as long as they play pretty well down the stretch and continue to show signs of the progress they had on Saturday.
Ryan, obviously no visits this week with Tennessee on the road. Our coaches headed out Friday night on their way to Tuscaloosa for the matchup with Tennessee and Alabama.
There's a good chance you'll see that. You know, we haven't heard details yet, but certainly Tennessee did that last year when they went to Auburn, you know, took the opportunity to make a bunch of stops in the state of Alabama, even some in Georgia. I think you'll probably see that, if I had to guess, in the state of Alabama some on Friday night. Since it's a Saturday night game, coaches will have plenty of time to go on the road, and there are obviously a number of targets Tennessee's after in Alabama. They've got some commitments down there, guys like James Robinson, the offensive lineman. So they definitely will, I think, take advantage of the opportunity to at least see a few of those guys while they're in the vicinity.
Ryan, what's coming up over the next 7 days at GoVols 24/7 before we check in with you again?
Yeah, tons of coverage of Tennessee-Alabama week. We've got some fun stories up on the site this week looking at some of the best plays and games and things like that from the Tennessee-Alabama series, recruiting battles between those two teams. You'll have that story later today. Some recruiting coverage, obviously, coming off the big win for Tennessee on Saturday against Mississippi State. And still, you know, looking ahead, obviously, at Saturday's game and what Tennessee can get out of this game and whether they can pull off what would be a massive upset. So lots of things to read up on throughout the week on GoVols247.com.
We always appreciate your time on Tuesdays. Ryan, we'll talk to you next week. Safe travels to Bama and back.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, dude.
It's Ryan Callahan, GoVols 24/7, and his appearance each week brought to you by Henley Roofing.
HenleyRoofing.net. If you need a commercial building roofed or re-roofed, fixed, anything like that, you just call Henley Roofing Company. Go online to their website, rebranded by 42nd Street Design. They did a great job doing that, and it accurately shows the big jobs that they do, the small jobs that they do, and everything in between. They're the go-to commercial re-roofing company. They've been around for over 55 years. They're the best in the business. They know what they're doing. And you're going to get competitive pricing, the best warranties, and they make good on that two-year craftsmanship warranty and the install of your roof. If you have any size commercial building at all, from Thompson Bowling Arena to a place like we're at today, Cumulus, or anywhere in between, they can take care of you. HenleyRoofing.net.
Or the Arcane Show next, 656-9900, if you want to join us on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the Arcane Show on the Sports Animal. Appreciate everybody tuning in, listening to us here on FM 99.1. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. Don't forget, Lock, Shop, and Save with MIG, state's number one residential mortgage lender is and has been and will be Mortgage Investors Group.
656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Arcane Show. Jeremy Pruitt also yesterday talked about their game plan, and he addressed this after the game on Saturday as well. They played the game in the second half Saturday that they had to win the game, but he acknowledged that they aren't going to win playing that way every time.
No, but I think my point yesterday, and that he did this last year only against Charlotte, and so far this year he's done it only against Mississippi State, and I would say hasn't even tried in any other game. So Pruitt is 2-for-2 as a head coach in games in which his defense is dominant, and he therefore puts the handcuffs on the offensive coordinator and says, run the ball. Now, even he mentioned yesterday that there were probably some RPO opportunities that Jarrett could have taken if he, you know, looking back on it.
Right.
But I also don't blame Jarrett for going in there. And Tim Jordan had 19 carries and Chandler had 16, and they were ripping off 3 to 6 yards every time you handed it to them.
Yeah.
So
that last drive, 91 yards, and obviously Tyler Burke finished it, but the runs before that, you're gashed.
You had gotten to the point where it was, you know, it was early in the handcuffs, you know, like third quarter. It was 3 to 5 yards a pop, so I get handing it off. Why would you throw? I mean, just to keep handing it off. That by the time we got to the last drive, it was 6 to 10 yards a handoff.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that's you got to give the credit to the O line on that one.
All right, we'll come back 656-9900 if you want to join
Smith,
us.
Offensive lineman of the week, yeah. SEC offensive lineman of the week.
We'll play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia on the other side on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal.